Glory to God. Right, ready tonight? Hold someone's hand and say, our Father, we ask tonight, and we receive revelation, precision, and accuracy. There's no obstruction, there's no confusion, no contradiction. A free flow of revelation is in this atmosphere. And we see Jesus, your Son, as he sees us in here, and you are glorified in his name. Say amen! Glory to God. Now get back to quickly John 14, verse 16 to 17. When Jesus, hear this now, John 14, 16 to 17. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he, who is the he? Who is the he? Thank you very much. He may abide with you for how long? Forever. And he may, who abides? Who has he been telling us who will be with? The Father. We've always thought the Father just gave us something. No, the Father came. That he, the Father, may abide with us forever. With you, you and I. The Spirit of truth. Why did he say truth? It's not a name of somebody they created from somewhere. The truth is that we will be in the Father. That's the Spirit of truth. The truth, that's the truth. Not the Spirit of truth. I'm telling the truth, I lie not. No. The truth he was talking about. The Spirit of truth. That is everything Jesus said before then. The reality is in the Spirit. That's the reality. And we said, you do not know a believer by revelation. Except by revelation. Look at someone beside you. And say, you're a man in Christ. I know you by the word. You're more than a conqueror. You're a victor. You are born of the Spirit. You have the Spirit of adoption. God is your Father. You can never be defeated. That's how to talk to brethren. Now, sometimes their conduct can require that we use figures of speech, like Paul did. But when he opened the letters, he said, grace from God our Father. Reality before condition. Hallelujah. I'm who he says I am. Some guys don't like this. They think we should preach circumstances, not revelation. No, we have left that realm. We have left that realm. If you go to a church, nobody here does that. And they're always preaching circumstances. What's happening in Nigeria to brethren? That is a news station. It's a news station. That's not a preaching. That's not a gospel house. In the gospel house, our truth don't change. Everything we say is the same. The brethren will misbehave. Brethren do misbehave. And we flog them. We rebuke them. The body of Christ is so interesting. Somebody has been in Christianity for 30 years. He has a lot of experience. We call him grand brother or high brother. You know, high chief, high brother. Someone receives Christ 5 seconds ago and they're both the same. We don't call him a lesser name because he just got saved. He's the same. He's a new creature. He's God's son. Without taking his first action, as he is, so he is. He's yet to pray. He's yet to even live right, as we say. But as he is, so is he. When Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, the day he wrote the letter, somebody got born again. Say, you are sanctified. That's what he called it. Hallelujah. sometimes we could be carried away by the things we do, services, service in church, the membership classes, foundation school, and then we think those things determine the status of believers. No. It's the gospel that determines our status. I'm who he says I am. I have what he says I have. So, who dwells? John 14:16. The Father. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. Until now, Jesus said the Father is in me. But he says when I rise from the dead, he will dwell in you. He calls him the Allos, Paracletos, the same person I've been speaking about. He will dwell in you. And in verse 20, he says, at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Praise the Lord. And we said earlier that the eyewitness couldn't capture this. Because that's all they could see was not by revelation. But what they saw was important. Because without Christ's resurrection from the dead physically, there is no basis for the indwelling. And so they saw that. But you see, a man that never saw Christ physically described him accurately. Paul never saw him physically. Never. Never did. I tell people, the encounter Paul had on the road to Damascus is almost similar to his revelation. Because, hear this now. Here's Paul, he's on the road to Damascus, and then he comes down by a great light. Then he hears Saul, Saul, why are you kicking hard against the bricks? He says, who art thou, Lord? When he says, who art thou, Lord? Of course, if a great light brings you down the road, you call the person Lord, quick. Attention, sir. I'm at your service, sir. Oh, you fall down. Then he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. How would Paul write letters without identification? His first encounter was to see Jesus and the church not distinguished. He couldn't but write in Christ. He was overwhelmed. That encounter was enough to show him the pathway to revelation. I am Jesus, whom you persecute. And so, Paul knew Christ by revelation. You know, the apostles didn't have a problem. Because by the time he began to describe what Christ did, they knew it was true. The spiritual realities, things that eyes couldn't grapple with, they couldn't grab it, they couldn't see it. And so, here's Jesus, follow this please. When he rose from the dead, he had told them that the Holy Ghost, what he called the promise of the Father, he mentioned it in Luke 24:49. I've got to that shortly. But then before then, he talked about the Spirit of Truth, the Father dwelling in them. You see, listen to me. We cannot overstate this. This is the fact of Christianity. It cannot be overemphasized. That's the fact of Christianity. We are not devotees. You know, Christian devotees, Muslim devotees, devotees, every Monday we go to pray. Every Saturday we go to pray. No, devotees. We are devoted, no doubt. But we are not devotees. We are sons that are devoted to the service of the Father. The moment a son begins to see himself only in what he does for you in the household, you are not parenting properly. Your son just sees that all he is that he makes your bed. He takes care of your car. He runs errands for you. And that's how he sees himself. You are not parenting properly. He is first, primarily, and most importantly, your son. Sometimes we get carried away with service and the things we do, and we think the things we do are who we are. No. It's what the Father has made us. That is who we are. Hallelujah. Nobody becomes your son by behavior. Say, sir, I've been acting like you, dressing like you, looking like you. You were singing like you. I believe I'm your son. You say, now what is wrong with you? You have to come from me. Hallelujah. You have to come from me. You have to be born of God. So salvation is not behavioral modification. No. It's a new birth. I'm born of God. I'm who he says I am. See, this truth must not be said once a year. People forget it easily. You should hear it very well. As a pastor, when you are rebuking somebody who has done the most heinous of offenses, say, you're son of God now. Don't say, and you call yourself. You are not, and you call yourself a son of God. Are you a son of God like this? You know, many of us, we go back to that old man from the religious mentality. Paul says, know ye not? Know ye not? He's about to rebuke those who were given to fornication. Sleeping with harlots. He says, such were some of you. Despite the fact that he's about to correct the attitude. But you are washed. You are justified. You are sanctified. He said, flee fornication. Ah. He just said, such were some. They said, flee. He separated their condition from their nature. He told them what God had done. Because of what God has done, then you do this. Not do this so you will be sanctified. No. Do it because you are sanctified. Are you still there? 1 Corinthians 6:11. Down to verse 16 and 18. So we need to realize that. So he says, he will abide in you forever. This truth must be said so often. Martin Luther said, I teach my people justification by faith every week because every week they forget it. Because people forget easily. I've seen some people, even in the church I pastor, they'll just say something. They say, well, I just said it, sir. What did you just say? That is lie. A new creature said, that is lie. Sir, which life? Life, no? The life of God? I have that one, but this is just life. He or she needs to hear this every day. There are some times you lock yourself up. When you discover the things you are saying are strange, shut down for some time. Hear those same truths. Kenneth Copeland shared something years ago. Kenneth Copeland is the president of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, you should know. He's 81. I kind of look at him preach and I tell myself, you can't get tired. This man is 81, he still preaches 4 or 5 hours. And some of us, after 1.5 hours, we're taking juice. By the time we are 60, they will put a crate of drinks. You are taking 5 alive, 10 alive, 20 alive. 1 hour preaching. And you are 26. By the time they figure that 62, they will have to pass 5. I've got the strength of God. I've got the strength of God. We don't wear out. We don't wear out. We get stronger by the day. Woo! Sit down. Someone told me, say, you know, as you get older, you have to check it. Hold on. Keep your advice. It's good. But that's not the primary way for me to live. Hallelujah. Strength is granted by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Kenneth Copeland said, he was very ill at a point. And then, not that he was ill. They had a condition in their ministry. And then he said, he just told the wife, he wanted to get into doubt. And then Gloria Copeland just said, no, we're not going to speak doubt or unbelief. We're going to go for 2 weeks and take those same old tapes of Brother Hagin. Right and wrong thinking. You can have whatever you say. How to write your ticket to God with God. Old things. And they went. Those old truths. They are not old truths actually. They are the same truths. Just see them again. Remind yourself. Remind yourself. Sometimes in the midst of doing a lot of theological study, you can lose out the basics. You know the Greek word of the Greek words. You understand the original of the natural original. Yet, you don't speak the word. Yet, a pain comes on your body. You say, iomai in the Greek is not always physical sickness. This one is physical sickness. And there's something called gifts of healing. Those who did not know what you knew, when the pain came, they said, in the name of Jesus, and they were healed. You are investigating whether it is spiritual or physical. I have what he says I have. You following my point? Glory to God. Where is the Father? He is the Spirit of truth within. Hallelujah. That means a whole lot of things are working in me. There's much more in me than my organs. There's much more in me than emotions. There's much more in me than my stomach, my kidney, my liver. There's God in me. There's much more in me than what an x-ray or diagnostic machine can see. What is in me is only known by revelation. It's only known by revelation. It's only known by revelation. It's only known by revelation. Only by revelation. Woo! Glory! 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 Woo! Glory! 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 I am not weak. I am not weak. I am strong. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Have your seat. You've got to remind yourself of those truths. Evergreen. Everlasting. Because your identity never changes. Power's working. Power goes working. You have what he says you have. You are who he says you are. You can do what he says you can do. I can never be defeated. And I don't quit. Woo! In my study of the Word of God, I found something out in my life. I found it out by my study of the word that there's something about the man who is full of the Spirit. He does not give up. He does not give up. Things can turn like this and turn like that. But he knows there's a way out. He just knows. I've never in my life been hopeless. There's no reason for it. Hopelessness is stupid. What does it produce? Hopelessness. Lessness. Boy, say no. There's power at work in me. I have ideas. I know the way to go. So I say, tell me. Say, I know the way to go. But tell me exactly the way. I say, I know the way to go. He doesn't understand what you are doing. He said, what is the way? I said, I know the way to go. Okay, what is the way? I said, I know the way to go. Never lend your emotions to negative things. You control your emotions. Give your emotions to joy. Give it to faith. You own your emotions. Have you not discovered when somebody is crying over something? Maybe he lost a grandfather or his father is crying. And he sees something. He says, what's that? He changes from crying to awareness. That means you own your emotion. You can choose not to cry over it. You can choose. You can choose not to be bitter. Because you own your emotions. Don't lend your emotions to sadness, bitterness, strife, envy. You own them. I give my emotions to the world. Hallelujah. Paul says, if we be beside ourselves, faith makes us act crazy. So I said, can't you see what I'm saying? So no, you cannot see what I am saying. You are not well. No, I'm not well. I know I'm not well.